Welcome to the Divinely Inspired Scriptures. I'm your host, Bob. I'm joined with Brother Bill. Good evening, Brother Bill.
Good evening, Bob. Very pleased to be here this evening. Looking forward to doing this study after looking at the show notes that you sent me. And I think this is going to be an excellent breakout study on a lot of things in here that really dovetail together, and just looking to see how you're going to present this, as I know I'll be learning from it.
Myself included, Brother Bill. Audience, tonight, our breakout show is Give Glory to Lord Your God Before He Caused Darkness. And we begin in Jeremiah 13:16. Give glory to the Lord your God before He caused darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while ye look for light, he turn it unto the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. Brother Bill?
Boy, what a there's a lot in that verse right there with Jeremiah 3:13-16, huh? Yeah, giving glory to anything but God, and that's what man wants to do. When this little bit of pride is planted inside of your heart, man seeks to give the glory to himself or give the glory to the creation, and this is what's going to stumble you and cause the strong delusion. You know, upon the dark mountains, well, that would be the mountains of Satan. That's the mount of the congregation that he climbs up upon. And you'll perceive the darkness as being light. That's the strong delusion. You don't even know that the darkness is dark.
As he says, it looks good, audience.
It looks good. There you go. It looks good. And glory to God is that it's just everything. Glory to God, praises to God, and thankfulness. Every day, thankfulness for what we have, thankfulness for the wisdom that he's given us, thankfulness for the understanding, thankfulness for the food that he's given us, even to breathe. We couldn't even breathe without God. You know, it's a mechanism that's already in us that operates without thinking. We just breathe without thinking, really. And that's only because of the glory of God. The sun comes up every morning, the glory of God, you know. He provides all things in this life, and all glory to him. And as we get away from the gospel of Jesus Christ farther and farther, which restrains evil, and we look around the world today, and glory is literally going to everything but God. I see glory going everywhere except for the glory to God.
And it's very important, audience, to understand that all of this is based on the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And throughout this study, it all points to Jesus Christ. It all points to covenant. It all points to one doctrine. It points to the scriptures. It points to our Lord Jesus Christ from before, now, and forever. In Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Luke 4:18. This is our Lord, audience, our Lord Jesus Christ, proclaiming the acceptable day of the Lord after his baptism by John the Baptist, the greatest prophet ever in Israel. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And the gospel, audience, is to announce the good news. It's to declare. It's to show. It's to be glad. It's good tidings. It's to preach this gospel. Bill?
Amen. Yes, he was quoting from Isaiah 61 there, as you have Luke 4:18. Yes, and it says, "He hath anointed me to preach the gospel." You know, his anointing came at the. You were speaking of John the Baptist. It does say, Scripture says he was the. I don't know if it says he's the greatest prophet or the ever born of a woman, I believe, and I'm just paraphrasing. And Jesus' anointing came when the Holy Spirit came down on him like a dove, to preach the gospel to the poor. Well, the poor are those that are humble, those that are broken, those that are broken of spirit, those that have a contrite heart, those that have a pliable heart. That's the poor. The church today would, most people would read that as poor people. I mean, that's kind of how I thought of it most of my life when I heard other Christians speak. And not that you can't be a poor person. That doesn't disqualify anybody, or rich, either way. But that poor that he's speaking there is those that will allow the circumcision of their heart through repentance.
And the audience, the brokenhearted is, that's you.
Yes.
You will be brokenhearted in this generation to find that this gospel is not preached. It's not preached as it was foretold. We're in a famine on the land. The famine is for the hearing of the word. On many levels, that is exactly what's happening now. Where you would consider strong delusion, Bill?
Most people may just think that that means delusion when they read it, but when the Lord says strong delusion, he means strong delusion.
Mighty audience. By the Lord. And when we go into the shadow of death, well, that's the Lord's shadow of death. He brings that on. He brings that darkness. And this darkness is an analogy, as all the parables of our Lord Jesus Christ are analogies. And this blindness, this broken heartness, the captives, the liberty, is all found in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when we're told to preach, Isaiah 52:9, break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. And that's Jerusalem above, Bill?
Absolutely. There's a major confusion in the world today. Jerusalem is this being seated in heavenly places. Jesus said that my kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is of Jerusalem above. It's a higher spiritual, if I may use the term plane, or however you want to dimension or whatever, it's in the spirit. Not to use New Age terms or confuse it with anything New Age, but the kingdom is not of this world, and I think that's the hardest thing for people to get.
And when we recount all of the parables, audience, we're told by our Lord that you are to study yourself approved. And that the apostles came back and asked the questions. And it's the word of God, not man, that answers the questions. We don't answer the questions, audience. The gospel answers the questions. The Lord reveals to you the answers that you have. We studied this together, Bill?
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely not of us?
No.
And that's giving glory to the Lord God.
Amen.
We are, in Psalms 22:26, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Psalms 25:9, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Well, that guidance and the way to judgment, Brother Bill, is the gospel.
Yes.
It's the word of God.
Absolutely. You know, in Psalms 22:26 there, it says they'll eat and be satisfied. For some reason, we find that the doctrines out there that they're not satisfied with the gospel. They eat a little bit of the gospel and they're not satisfied. So they go off to make some more gospel. They like leavened bread better.
And it's such a good point to bring up, Brother Bill. Audience, no one that we have ever found has stayed in the gospel, gone out of the gospel, and ever been right again. Bill?
Yeah, pretty much appears that way. I mean, I certainly don't know everybody. But from what I've seen, yes, that's what I see that happens.
So later on in this study, and I want you to be aware, audience, this is probably a multi-part study. We get into seducing spirits, and we get into errors. But if you follow the Lamb wherever he goeth, it is a worn track to the straight gate, the narrow way. And it is all of the Lord. And the proper rendering of Scripture points directly to our Lord Jesus Christ and no man. And if you think that a result of a study that you're doing will give you a worldly rendition of what's going on, it won't. Bill?
Right, yeah. Anything that leads back to the flesh is really the big thing to be aware of. You know, Jesus, the Apostle John said that spirit that believed that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is that spirit of God. And that's Jesus Christ's resurrection. That's Jesus Christ in you. That's ruling and reigning over sin. That's Jesus Christ alive now in you in the kingdom today. Anything that's going to take you back to the flesh to achieve or back to the flesh understanding is of a different spirit. And they come in very, very subtle forms. What I have found mostly about these teachings, most of them, is that it will lead you to a special group. If you find out you're being headed towards a special group, turn around and run. Because there's only one special group, and that's the Church of Jesus Christ, from which the gates of hell shall not prevail. So if you think you're going to be in a special group of the Mormon underwear, or the, I guess they figure they're the Ephraim, and then the Jehovah Witnesses think they're the 144,000, and doesn't matter what version of it is out there. Doesn't matter if it's going to lead you back to flesh protection, flesh security, flesh anointing, that you're going to avoid the tribulation because you belong to this certain group and you're going to get through it, and you're going to be disguised, and your flesh is going to be survived here till the last day because you're in this certain group. Believe them not.
And we find that the brokenhearted audience and them that are bruised are those in covenant with our Lord Jesus
Christ.
Yes. And the brokenhearted, the proper, you know, this breaks all doctrines of man to pieces. This gospel, this doctrine, powerful doctrine. How powerful was it in the time of our Lord? It says they came from every direction. People came from every direction. And they've diminished that. They've diminished the miracles of our Lord. They've attributed it to man. They've totally destroyed the proper rendering of Scripture through the Gospels with diminished Bibles. Let's diminish the Word. That's a good idea, Bill.
Well, it's a good idea for Satan.
And that's who the bruised are hurt by. It's Satan, audience. You are delivered from Satan. You're in captivity to Satan in this world. He's the prince and power of the air. And we're told that the Lord has you. He creates the shadow of darkness. He puts upon you the wrath of Satan. He chastises you with opportunities to sin. And we always go back to the analogies of the prostitute or the blind beggar or the death, or the mute that had seducing spirits, the evil spirits. It is only through the Lord that you are healed. There is no other name. And as we proceed, you're going to find that it is to a broken-hearted person to see that everybody in our generation, it's, Bill, is it the greatest, worst time in the history of man that the diminishment of the word
is happening? Well, I would have to say so, Bob, for several reasons. Number one is there's more people, obviously, in the world now than there's ever been. That goes without saying. Number two, Jesus said that the woman would hid leaven until the whole was leavened. So I would say that over 2,000 years now, they've been able to put more leaven in than they could 300 years ago. They've been shoveling it in for the last 1,700 years. So as time progresses, it was a prophecy by Jesus Christ himself, the spirit of prophecy, that the whole would be leavened. And that applies in the whole world. All these scriptures apply to us also on individual layer as well. But yeah, there's never been this many. There's never been, I don't think, all the history that I've studied, just winds and winds and winds of false doctrine every direction. I mean, the wind changes, every few minutes.
And audience, very important. Psalm 149:4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people, he will beautify the meek with salvation. And this beautify, audience, is to gleam. It is to explain, it is to make clear. It is to glory the Lord. It is his good pleasure, audience, for you to know the truth of Scripture, for you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ, through his word, it gives us the narrow way. Matthew 5:3-5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Bill?
Yeah, the very first thing there is the blessed are the poor in spirit. That's the humble and the contrite heart. That's nothing else can really happen. There can't be a mourning, and there can't be a thirst for righteousness and a hunger for righteousness until that very first thing that he addresses there. Jesus was on the mount with his disciples, and he sat down and he spoke on the mount with his disciples as he was looking at this multitude, this great multitude. They were in the valley below, in a valley of decision, and that makes up everything. That's all of mankind that he's looking at there. And he's saying, blessed are the poor. It's the ones that are poor, broken, and a contrite, humbled heart. That's where repentance begins in everything. Then it says, blessed are the men that mourn. That's when you see the sin in you. You mourn over the sin that's in your heart. You mourn over your sinful ways. And you seek now, as he says in the next verse, them that hunger for thirst and hunger for righteousness means you want to start changing your ways, like he told the woman to go and sin no more. Because you've now mourned, you see this sin in you, and you're seeking to turn away from all of that sin, and you're thirsting for God's righteousness now in you.
And it's stunning, audience. It's completely individual. Be ye the holy temple of the Lord means be ye the holy temple of the Lord. And the only way to understand the Word of God is to study the Word of God. And the only leader is our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never find this of men.
Right. Later on in that, I forget which verse it is, maybe 8 or 9, I'm not sure. He says, blessed are the peacemakers. So after you've gone through all of that, now you can go out and spread the gospel. You can be a spiritual tent maker, and the Lord can work through you as a vessel to bring peace to another soul. And then that's why he says, blessed are the peacemakers. Because you can bring, through the gospel of Jesus Christ and the true doctrine, you can bring peace to, and then you saw we spiritually multiply.
And the proper rendering of Scripture, audience, is very, very simple. The simplicity of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 4:19. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And straightaway, audiences, immediately.
Immediately, right. Left their nets. That was their natural lives. Maybe you could say the nets that they were in, the traps they were in. And guess who Jesus is speaking to of these people here? They were multitudes. And then the multitudes turned to him. It's everybody's a multitude.
Just as they were sitting with our Lord, listening to him preach this gospel.
Yeah.
But it's an individual decision to turn to the Lord. And in this day and age, they're not preaching Jesus Christ. They're not preaching covenant. They're not preaching repentance. They're not saying, follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They're saying, follow me and buy my book.
Right, follow me, buy my book. Jesus loves you the way you are. There's a lot of versions of it out there.
And and you'll find, audience, follow means to go, come hither, come follow. It doesn't mean to lead. It doesn't mean to write a book. It doesn't mean to start a church.
And it certainly doesn't mean to go wandering off in another direction.
It means to be in covenant.
Right.
And to know his word. And it's his. It's not of the world. Matthew 25:34. Then shall the king say unto them, on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom, prepare for you from the foundation of the world. That foundation, audience, that's our Lord Jesus Christ. It was conceived of by our Lord God, that this should be the manner of all men for salvation. In no other name, period. Bill?
Amen. No other name, right. Acts chapter 2, Peter said, them that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Peter tells you how to call upon the name of the Lord. He says, how do they do it? He says, repent. That's how you
amen.
Call upon the name of the Lord.
Amen, audience. And just recounting, come ye blessed of my Father, is also follow me. Come follow
yes.
is the same. Matthew 4:23, and Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And the gospel, audience, is the good message that is the gospel. That's this gospel, audience. That's pointing to Lord Jesus Christ, repentance, covenant, salvation. And that kingdom is now. Right now. Bill?
Yes, amen. It's right now. Absolutely. You were talking about these other gospels, these gospels without repentance, and that's actually kind of the opposite of the opposite of the prodigal son. The gospel that they're teaching now, the socialized gospel without repentance, that you said that nobody's teaching repentance, is that the father in that parable of the prodigal son, he actually goes out and meets the child or his son, and lives with him in the pigsty, and he eats of the pig food with him. We know that that's not true in that parable. Obviously, the child, the prodigal son, comes back through humbleness, through broken heart, through realizing he's not worthy of his father, he's not worthy of, and of course the father takes him back in from this repentance. But they're teaching that parable, but they would never come out and say this, but that's what they're saying, that the easy grace is that the father goes out and finds the son in the pig pen, and then the father just joins him in the pig pen.
Doctrine of demons.
Yeah, that's exactly how they teach that parable. Not through the words of their mouth, they don't say that, but through the seducing spirits that they use and the doctrines of devils, it comes out that. That's what it is. When Jesus loves sinners, invite Jesus into your heart, and Jesus paid everything for you, and you just have to believe. And that's the same as the father going and living with the prodigal son in the pig pen.
Absolute abomination.
Yeah, and the devils believe, so...
The gospel, preaching the gospel audience is to herald its divine truth. It's the gospel. It's preach. It's proclaim. It's published. Now this, in any manner of vocation that you as a holy vessel of our Lord Jesus Christ, doing his will and not your own will, you are the healer. You heal the sickness. You heal all manner of disease among the people. Because you're the holy temple of the Lord, and know this. You preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the word does not come back void, and it's absolutely nothing to do with you. It's his will. Bill, his will?
Right. It's either his will or your will, and your will never get it. I mean, it'll just be ground into powder. You know, all the kingdoms have been ground into powder over the centuries. You know, look at the great Spanish Empire. It's ground into powder. All the great men of the past that we read about and stuff and history books and whatever, Adolf Hitler or the Nazi Germany kingdom or whatever, it's just all been ground into powder. And these kingdoms today is going to be ground into powder. It's all being done that way. And it's because of man doing it with his will. And it's either going to be broken upon the rock, that's the poor in spirit, or the rock is just going to crush you into powder. You know, that is, those are the rich in spirit. Those are the prideful ones.
All analogies of healing of our Lord Jesus Christ, specifically in blindness, in hearing, in leprosy, all point to our Lord healing those diseases. Healing those physical deformities. And in almost every case, it goes back to, what did they do after they were healed, Bill? They preached the gospel.
Yes. Amen.
Except the 10 with leprosy, when he told them to go see the priest, all 9 of them went to go see the priest, 1 came back.
Right.
To give glory to God.
Glory to God. You know, I was going to maybe speak a minute on a story that I've heard and I read, and
absolutely,
I'm not going to judge anybody. I don't want to be a judger of things, but it was a woman that was cured of cancer here. I was a few years ago, and she talked about how she overcame the cancer, and it was her willpower and all of the things that she followed, the formula through, I don't know, the treatment that she was going through, and she made it there because of the treatments and because of her willpower, and she was able to overcome cancer. And then the cancer just came right back because she gave no glory to the Lord at all. It was all about how they overcame it.
And audience, if you want to hear the shadow of darkness, yea, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death.
Yeah.
You know, think of Herod. When he got up there all dressed up in his white, shiny performance, you could translate that now. He had his, you know, $500 suit. He's up on the platform, and he was struck down, period. Yeah. As an example, okay, if you're not cured of these physical deformities, spiritually, the spiritual deformities that are associated with these analogies, then you're looking at hell. And that's a proper rendering of Scripture. Out of covenant, judgment, hell.
Out of covenant, judgment, hell, right.
Eternity. Now, they've turned this upside down.
Well, they're teaching there's 1,000 years, too, and you get another chance or something. And there are no other chances after this lifetime.
There's no chances, audience. This study tells you to do exactly what Scripture tells you, to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 9:35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Matthew 11:5, the blind receive sight, and the lame walk, and lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them.
The poor have the gospel preached to them. See, the gospel's not going to be preached to anybody but the poor. Oh, there might be there'll be some other people there, but the fowls of the air will come by and scoop it up, as it says in Matthew 13, as soon as the seed falls by the wayside. But the only one that's going to have to be preached to is going to be the brokenhearted, the contrite, and the humble that are broken before God through repentance.
And it's very easy to discern the proper rendering of Scripture from here, audience. It's Nicodemus, you know. Nicodemus couldn't, he was wrestling with, you know, should I be born again? How can I come out of my mother's womb? You know, the Lord took his blindness off.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. And Nicodemus, the Bible says he was a rich man, didn't it?
Yes.
A rich ruler of the Jews, I believe, in John chapter 3. Rich ruler of the Jews. He was on the Sanhedrin. Yet, right here in verse 5 of this Matthew chapter 11, we find out that Nicodemus was actually a poor man. Being poor in spirit, so
very important audience.
And yet
very
he was still rich and wealthy, so this could anybody could come to the Lord, you know.
CEO of a bank, guy on the corner, any vocation you have in the inhabitants of the earth.
Amen.
All you have to do is ask. All you have to do is pray to the Lord.
Yes.
Because the gospel is being preached to the whole world.
Right. It is being preached to the whole world, just like it said in, you know, and Jesus said in the Olivet Discourse, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached, and then the end shall come. And it's been going forth, and it's been being preached for 2,000 years to the whole world. The famine is the hearing. They don't hear the words, but the gospel is still being preached.
Matthew 4:17 is very... very important, audience. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We find from Isaiah 61 and in Luke, this is now confirmed. It's the covenant of our Lord God. It is the new covenant in his Son, Jesus Christ. And this repentance is properly, it's to think differently. And it's to think differently because through this gospel, you're told that everybody else isn't going to see it. And the only people that are going to see it are those that have the good news.
And how can we think differently? The only one way I know of, and that's to have this mind of Christ Jesus. We are not going to think differently with our mind.
And it goes back to greater is he that is in me that is in the world, because I have overcome the world. Well, so have you by the gospel.
Right.
Not by any man.
Not by any man, no. Or any means of your own. Or
The proper rendering of Scripture, audience, is that it'll probably take you to eternity to understand it. It is the wisdom of the Lord. We can't get our minds around it. But what we're given points directly to what we have to do for our salvation.
Right, because Jesus has everything else covered. It's the gospel itself, really, there's quite an a simplicity in the gospel. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's two witnesses right there. And that's the gospel.
Amen.
And if you start searching the scriptures and praying to the Lord to reveal to you, and be a good Berean, the Lord will open it up. You know, he's an author and finisher unto your faith. He says it takes the faith of a mustard seed. So we don't learn everything overnight. We're not, Bob and I haven't learned what little we've learned all overnight, has it, Bob?
It's overwhelming to me, audience.
Yeah.
It's overwhelming what I can tell you. I get it. It's a testimony that it's not of me. Milton Green put about just a carton.
Right. Yeah, we're just a carton. Right.
Deserving. Not seeking anything. But yet, by grace, I'm given the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's all to his glory. All to his glory and nothing to me.
Amen.
It's so important, audience. So important that the Lord is our leader. He's our shepherd. We follow him. We don't follow any man. Nothing in the flesh. Bill?
Yeah, amen, because you know, men will heap upon themselves having teachers having itching ears. I'm not saying that there are not good teachers out there. There are some good teachers out there that are growing in the Lord Jesus Christ and understanding. And but we put all of our trust into the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will direct us.
And the analogies and parables that you find, audience, that Bill and I can attest, it's the tip of the iceberg. Every jot and tittle means something. And it's imparted on to pull together the recollection of Scripture as you study it. When it says it's the living word, it is the living word, Bill?
Well, yes, it's the living word forever. It's Jesus Christ is life. It's the only thing that there is life in it, and he is the word. So if he's the word, we know that he's the word. He was the word made flesh. The word was God. The word was with God in the beginning. John chapter 1, verse 1. And then Jesus, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No, there is no other life outside of the word.
So now, audience, as we're saying, you know, follow me, come. That's to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is explicitly what happens. Matthew 3:16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight away out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. Straightway, audience, the proper rendering is straight, level, forthwith, true. The plumb line of Amos, Bill?
Yeah, absolutely. The plumb line of Amos, true. Straightway. You know, the Spirit guy, as soon as he was baptized, and that Spirit led him straightway into the wilderness, I believe.
And lo, the heavens, audience, the heavens, you have to get a grasp on this. You have to get your mind around this. The idea not only of elevation, sky by extension, heaven, the abode of God. It's happiness, it's the analogy of power, eternity, but specifically this heavens under this context is the gospel of Christianity.
Praise the Lord.
The heavens, audience, is the gospel, understanding the gospel that leads you to repentance, that leads you to covenant, that leads you to be the holy temple of the Lord Jesus Christ and to do his will, because right now he is the Lord of this kingdom without end. Bill?
Yes, without end, absolutely. And I was looking at Romans today, chapter 8, and it speaks a little bit about the, you know, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And when we try to push forward everything and create all of these fleshly understandings of the millennial reign and the fleshly understandings of the 144,000, the fleshly understandings of all of these things. I read Romans 8:24 today. The verse jumped out at me after reading probably the six or seven verses before, but it says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope is that is seen is not hope." So in other words, if you're going to see all this, it's not hope anymore. We're going to figure it all out in man's mind, and we think that we're supposed to know the whole secret more. And he says it's not hope anymore. "For what a man seeth, why doth he then need hope for?" He says, if you've already seen it and you already know all this and you already know what's going to happen, what do you need hope for? And that's the same as I think of Noah. It says, Noah by faith, moved with fear, built an ark to save his house. Noah by faith of things not yet seen. See, Noah didn't know what that flood was, the world was going to be like after the flood. He just didn't know. He didn't know what it was going to be like, the whole world covered with water, really. But he didn't sit and try to analyze it and figure it out and figure out which group to belong to and how exactly things were going to happen. He just had faith in things not yet seen.
The width and depth of the kingdom of God, audience, is so unbelievable.
Right, absolutely. We're just not going to know. You just can't get your mind around it. Yeah, that's what our hope is in Jesus Christ, and being, well, our hope is in being a good servant and obedient to God, you know, and doing the will of the Father just as Jesus did. And, you know, we have inheritance waiting for us. We stored up treasures in heaven. The treasures that you store up in heaven are actually all the good deeds that the Lord Jesus Christ has done through you in this life. That's the treasures that are stored up in heaven.
And it's very important to understand, audience, it's imparted on you to do the will of the Lord. And your part is fulfilled. You do. This is good news. This is very good news.
This is very good news. You know, doing the will of the Lord, you spoke there, Bob, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead, Bill.
As soon as Jesus' anointing there, he was full of the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. It says immediately. So he was right there through the Holy Ghost in him. It was the Holy Ghost that was, he was following the lead of the Holy Ghost, Jesus was. That's how he was doing the will of the Father. It was the Holy Ghost that led him into the wilderness. Jesus didn't go to the wilderness on his own. Or Jesus didn't go, it was the Spirit that driveth him into the wilderness. And it's the same with us.
Because as a fleshly man, you know, how are you going to contend with the devil?
You have no
chance.
How
are you going to prepare yourself to contend with the devil? And this is the proper rendering of Scripture, audience. Luke 24:27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself." And it's very important, audience. Can you imagine being the two guys on the road that are just brokenhearted, upset? You know, they know that they killed the Lord. It's been proclaimed by the Roman soldiers that were there.
Right.
It's proclaimed throughout the land because they diminish this too, audience. Okay. They diminish everything that has to do about these events. But the proper rendering is there were earthquakes, the graves opened up, the veil in the temple, which was a huge, huge, for its time, intertwined, threaded, 13-something years, 14 years to make, 3 feet thick. It was just this huge veil of rope split right down the middle.
Yep.
Opening to the glory of God that wasn't in the temple. The glory was in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. The glory was in our Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely right. It wasn't in the temple, right?
So everyone knew they killed God. They don't want you to know this now. They want you to follow ETs, aliens, New Age, fleshly 144 that. If you don't continue in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is where you're going to be deceived.
Right. This was the transition, by the way. Everyone's looking for the transition. There it was. The temple was rent twain right there. The cross was the transition. Now you have a way through Jesus Christ, through repentance, to be restored back to God. That's the real transition. There's every version of the transition going on out there. Everybody seems to think that they've always lived in the last days. This is quite common over the centuries. And you have many, many soothsayers come along. Now, I still believe that we are pretty much looking at the world where the end of the age, but I don't know. This thing could last 100, 200 years. Who am I? You know, it would still be the end of the age.
It doesn't matter, audience.
It doesn't even
today.
Matter anyway. It doesn't matter if it was now or if we were listening to Paul 2,000 years ago. The message is exactly the same as if you were listening to Paul preach.
It never changes.
It never
changes. It's the
proper
rendering of Scripture, audience.
Exactly.
Because you're going to find that Scripture is very, very, it's life-saving. It's the Word of God.
Absolutely.
And the world doesn't want you to study your Scriptures. It wants you to watch TV. It wants you to go to your corner church and have somebody preach to you. Anything to diminish the Word of God, audience. Anything, but you're told, Acts 28:31, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, and with all confidence, no man forbidding him. And again, we were told, preaching is the gospel, the truth. The kingdom of God is at hand right now. In teaching those things, in terms of those things, that's what's supplied to others. That's for everyone.
Yes.
That's the meat of Scripture for you, so that you can endure in your lifetime. That started at the cross. It's going on before, during, and for eternity, because it concerns the Lord Jesus Christ. And all confidence is pretty blunt, audience. That is bluntness. That's openly, that's plainly, that's in confidence. And I can assure you, audience, Brother Bill and I are very sober about this. And this bluntness, this is the truth. There is hell, and you're going there if you're not in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. Bill?
Well, that's Jesus talked about hell more than anybody in the Bible. He never talked about another 1,000 years and a second chance and a third chance. I mean, it'd be nice if it was that way, I guess, you know, but it's not up to me, because that's man's mind and man's discernment, and I'm an idiot. But he never talked about anything other than the kingdom of God and hell as far as judgment, when judgment comes. There's only two. Just like the wheat and the tares, there's only two.
And the problem therein lies with a plain, let's give the 2012 update. Currently, current events are saying, well, there's wars, rumors of wars. There's the biggest natural disasters that any man could ever conceive of. We couldn't even conceive of anybody building 5 nuclear power plants on a fault line.
Right, and it's not even much talked about anymore, and it's still the biggest disaster I think that's ever happened, man-made disaster anyway.
After the Gulf of Mexico, that's still happening right now.
Yep.
And talk about just proper rendering of Scripture, audience. These people are all doing it for the money.
Yeah, the love of money is the root of all evil. That's the
to the point where they don't care care that they're killing children. They'll get out there and tell you everything's fine. You know, Japan should be evacuated and sealed up in a tomb. But they will not do that.
No.
This is, you know, greater damnation, audience.
Yeah.
Lake of fire. No repentance, no covenant, no deal. When it says, be ye a holy vessel or you're going to go to hell, that's proper rendering of Scripture. There's a chasm, there's a gap. We're told it, the analogy of Lazarus and the rich man. You know, the rich man, you know, he just can't get over this. He doesn't want anyone to go there.
Right. And he has an existence but no life.
He has an existence but no life. How bad can that be? Amos 5:10. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. That uprightly is the truth, audience. People hate the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ that are not in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Great
because
hatred, Bill?
Because it attacks pride. The truth of the gospel attacks pride. And pride doesn't like to be attacked.
And the pride, Sadducees, Pharisees, yep. You know, if you and I, Bill, sat on a panel with multi-McMansion preacher this guy and multi-McMansion preacher that guy.
Well, you would get verbally the same treatment that Stephen got.
Stoned?
Yeah, you would get verbally stoned and spiritually stoned and ridiculed and...
kicked out of the church?
Now, it's going to come a time, like maybe if you were in other places in the world, it would be a lot worse than that. But I believe it's a time coming there. It's going to be that same way here. Right now, you'd just probably get verbally laughed at and scoffed at and mocked at. But no, they won't hear. They won't hear the truth. It's because the truth is really invasive. It comes in like a sharp sword, and it just starts cutting on the pride, and the pride doesn't like to be cut.
Who said you're supposed to build a church? Who said you're supposed to make money off of this? Aren't our examples Paul? Paul was a tent maker, and he'd tell everybody in his epistles, you know, don't listen to those guys, it won't work.
Yep.
They're not telling you the truth. You know, you support yourself, you're supposed to be a good steward of what the Lord has blessed you with.
That's true, very true. Amen.
And you're not to take any money for this audience. Period. You're not to make it your vocation. You're not to make your living off of it. It's not about you. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and His good news. And the proper rendering is, don't go to hell. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ because He wants you. He's giving His hand out to you. But who's not? Who wants you bruised?
Satan.
It says, you know, beware not only the flesh, but He could take your soul. Another diminished aspect of this gospel, audience, Satan. And Satan's role in the kingdom. The prince and power of the air, Bill?
Absolutely, the prince and power of the air. You know, this the air is the spiritual battle that we battle, you know, and we battle not with flesh and blood. That's one layer of it. You know, the spiritual realm, so to speak. And Jesus Christ comes in and invites that battle with us through submittance to Him and submitting to His will. Satan is like a roaring lion. So anybody that thinks they can fight a roaring lion on their own, I guess there's men that can do it with knives and but I wouldn't want to try it.
Audience, this is a true story. I'm a young man coming out of high school. A palsy of mine, close friend that I grew up with, his brother's at the zoo. His brother's working in the lion house. The keepers took us in the back with a lion, opened the door. I'm not more than 5 feet. It's an 8x6 cubicle, and it's filled with lion. And the closeness that I could feel, its breath, the strength in the muscles, every muscle was like just a piece of steel. And those keepers were kidding around. They took a broom and they poked that lion. And that lion roared. And I don't care if you have a bazooka. If you're that close to a lion, audience, I kid you not, I was never so scared in my life.
Boy, yeah, I could imagine that.
It is the most unbelievable thing you've ever seen of God's creation. And that is the truth. And when it's like an under a roaring lion, audience, I still feel that fear. That fear is the fear of the Lord. Fear and trembling at my salvation, that I'm doing His will. Because spiritually, if you transcend that experience, it is unbelievable to put that analogy together. Bill?
Yes, I could imagine. That's why we want to stay away from the lion and stay in covenant. Keep a hedge up around us.
And that's the proper rendering of Scripture. Audience, you cannot battle Satan.
No.
Deliverance ministries, lies. All lies. You can petition the Lord to find what is true. And He will grant your petitions. Now, spiritually, you are armed by the Lord. You're in the armor of light. The Ephesians 6 armor is a spiritual armor. It is your salvations. It is the truth. It is the sword of the Spirit. Never think that you're doing anything in this fleshly battle except being the holy temple of the Lord. Sin no more and go. And preach the gospel and to do His will. Bill?
Yes, that's the simplicity of the gospel. Live the gospel as well. We can teach others just through example from living the gospel as well. People that won't listen to the gospel verbally, but they can still see your actions and see how you do. And through forgiveness to all people, not binding up resentment and binding up unforgiveness in us, that releases actually the Lord's Spirit to do a work in them.
An audience, this is something that troubled me for the past 4 years. Because I've experienced interviews that I've listened to of these deliverance ministries and these other ministries that proclaim this and that, I come to the truth. I come to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. During that time, it's like being tried in the wilderness by every false doctrine possible out there. It's a lie. And we go through the King James Bible, and I'm unaware that there's other Bible versions. And Bill explains in many of our early shows that, you know, the King James Version Bible has been around for 400 years, and you can't find it anymore. And we equate that to a famine on the land, and that famine is for the Word. Well, the best indication you could do is go to any Walmart or Target or mainstream store. You're not going to find the King James Version Bible. period. And you're told, 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Audience, it's the Spirit speaketh. It lays forth. It is the discourse. It breaks the silence. It's the calling. It's the utterance. That expressly, distinctly, who shall depart from faith and what they give heed to? And I always wrestle with this, Brother Bill. We've talked about this several times, about seducing spirits.
Yeah, they give heed to it. Eve was giving heed to seducing spirits. And, you know, who was it? Who was giving her the mouth of the serpent? The mouth of the serpent was the false prophet in that case. The serpent was using his own mouth there. He has a lot of ministers out there today, so he doesn't have, you know, he works through them. But at that time, he didn't have any employees. So he had to use his own mouth for the seducing spirit.
And to seducing spirits, audience, the proper rendering is roving. That's an imposter, that's a misleader, that's a deceiving and seducing. And those spirits are, you know, the proper rendering is spirits that you can't see.
Yep. And then they'll operate through men too, and is just as the Holy Ghost will operate through men, like the Holy Ghost was operating through Paul. And seducing spirits were operating through Simon the sorcerer, the first false prophet in the Bible, Acts chapter 8.
And these
come follow me. This is the broad road. This
yes.
is the yellow brick broad road.
So now you have distinctly in the first couple hundred years of this gospel being preached, you know, in Rome, they killed you. They killed you for following our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, and it's this has been the Great Tribulation for 2,000 years, and the martyrdom has been here, and it's going to continue. Yes, there's Christian brothers dying in Africa right now, and Egypt, and brothers and sisters both, and China and India, and
all followers of Him, audience,
yep.
all following the Lamb.
That's right. Amen.
The problem in this age is no one gives the proper rendering of seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Okay, because they want to make money off of this.
Yeah, I don't know how they would think of that, seducing spirits. I guess they would maybe talk about a witch doctor in Africa or something that conjures up a spell, or I guess you would say one of those voodoo spells from Haiti. That would be what they considered seducing spirits. And
when it's actually the doctrines in the churches.
Yeah, that's where it is, the doctrines in the churches, right.
You know, that's one level that, hey, you know, in Haiti they got the voodoo. You know, voodoo's bad.
I mean, those are seducing spirits too, yes, but those are obvious seducing. It's the inobvious seducing spirit.
Which Satan is cunning.
He's yeah, Eve wouldn't have went for the Haiti thing in the garden.
So now there's doctrines, and this doctrine that's explicitly taught by the deceiving and seducing spirits is going to be spread in the latter times, and they are instructing and they are teaching anything but Jesus Christ, Him crucified. They don't want you to know the power of the doctrine. They don't want you to know
the
that
power
the kingdom
of the
is here.
That's what it's all about, the power of the shift, the power of the transition, the power of the new age. And There's no power unless the real, you know, the real shift was Jesus Christ at the cross. Now the shift in you, it's, there's no mystery. It's being born again. That's the shift. You change and turn from your ways. That's the shift. You have, you become followers of Jesus Christ, partisans of Christ. And then, it doesn't matter what else happens in this universe or this world or what's left in this time zone.
And this doctrine of demons is deceit. It's to deceive. It's delusion. It's error in learning. And it's like nudge, they shall depart, which means they'll be removed. To revolt, to draw away, to withdraw self.
Right. Fall away. I see fall away in there.
All the same meanings, audience. Drew away, fall away, and refrain are all the same meaning.
Absolutely.
2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Okay, depart is the same way, audience. It works in reverse.
Right, there's always the flip-flop of everything.
You are to remove the moral wrongness. You are to purge iniquity, unrighteousness, wrong. And that power can only be found through our Lord Jesus Christ. It can only be found in repentance, in covenant, and it is therein lies your salvation. One-on-one with the Lord Jesus Christ, and no man can grant this. So the preacher on the radio that's preaching whatever he's preaching, doctrine of demons. Prince and power of the air.
Right, yeah, the prince of the power of the air on that layer. That's for sure, Bob. All the airways and everything. And
the internet.
Internet is just a flood of lies. It's a flood out of the mouth of the dragon. I have not been able to, you know, I haven't searched every site on the website, and so I'm not going to say that there's not more, but I can only find about 8 or 10 that are preaching this gospel.
The problem with these seducing spirits, audience, is that to overcome seducing spirits, you have to know the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, period.
Yes, you do. To understand a false gospel, you got to know the true one first. That's just like determining counterfeit money. If you don't know what the real money looks like, how are you going to know if it's counterfeit?
Amen. Amen. How are you going to know it's counterfeit? How are you going to be prepared to not have doctrines of demons preached to you? The proper rendering of scripture is to know this gospel. They can't deceive this gospel. They can't tell you that there's pre-tribulation. It crushes. This gospel crushes that. Dominionism crushed. Zionism crushed. Jews replacement theology crushed. British Israel crushed. Well, how do I know all those? Because before I knew this gospel, I pretty much was taught all of those gospels. Bill?
Amen. You know, the King James Bible, and we'll just grind into powder all of these, all those things that you just mentioned there. You really search them and study yourself approved, and you'll say, oh my gosh, the Bible says this is not true. And that's the case with all those that you mentioned, and many, you know, multitudes of them more.
Audience, to understand this thoroughly, Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Very important, audience. Because on the flip side of this is Acts 7:51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in the heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did so, do ye. Acts 13:45. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold, and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we return to the Gentiles. Bill?
Yeah, it was a big verse there. Paul says that they judged themselves unworthy. You know, by the resisting, as Stephen had said in Acts chapter 7, why ye always resist the Holy Ghost. That's how we judge ourselves unworthy, really, is by resisting the Holy Ghost, which is blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, really. That's the unpardonable sin, you know, that one that John spoke about. He says, I dare pray for it, or I dare speak of the unpardonable sin. You know, Jesus says, all sins forgiven, except for the sin of blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. And I'm just paraphrasing. And that's what they were doing in those two verses there that Paul, that you were referencing with Acts chapter 7 and Stephen, and Acts chapter 13 with Paul, as they whacked Barnabas and Paul waxed bold, it said. They waxed bold. That means they delivered the gospel with no strings attached, with no cotton candy. Well, let me give you part of the gospel and a candy bar too, and then we can sit down and discuss this and we'll talk about it. No, that's not waxing bold. Because Paul is dealing, and Barnabas are dealing in souls right here. And it's not a game.
It's your life, audience. Yes. Everlasting life or hell. And Satan, in these deceiving, seducing spirits, are preaching doctrines of devils. And the only defense is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our only salvation is found in him. And nobody wants to tell you about this anymore.
No.
It's politically correct to get along, to agree to disagree. We can agree to disagree. Well, that's a lie. Straight from the pit of hell. Because you're told only in this gospel will you understand the word of God, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're two Chronicles 3:38. Now, be ye not stiff-necked, as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord, and enter into his sanctuary, which he hath sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. Bill?
Yeah, the fierceness of his wrath, that he repent from his wrath, you know, he turn from his things, and there's the opposite right there. And you stiff-necked is exactly what Stephen was speaking about in Acts chapter 7 when he said, you stiff-necked, why you always resist the Holy Ghost. It's the pride that makes us stiff-necked. And we resist the Holy Ghost when it comes. We resist the, you know, Jesus says, I stand knocking. Of course, the church has changed that today. They think that Jesus wants to come into the church, just like the father wanted to go into the pig pen with the prodigal son. No, Jesus is calling them out of the. He's calling you out into him. He's calling you into the wilderness with him.
So in this gospel, go ahead, Bill. I'm sorry.
No, I'm finished. It's just that that's another thing they got backwards. That Jesus invites you in, or you. Excuse me. He wants to come into the pig pen.
Come out of her, audience. Come out of the world. Every analogy for Babylon applies to you. Every analogy for not mingling in Egypt applies to you. Everything that happened in Sodom and Gomorrah applies to you, individually.
Yes, very, very true.
And on a world basis, all the people that came out were sanctified by the Lord and were saved. And everyone that didn't were died. That's it. like a fire, Jesus Christ. Wheat, tares, stiff-necked, hell. Proper rendering of Scripture is telling us that these doctrine of demons in the latter times will be preached. And woe unto you that fall into them because you don't study yourself approved. That you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord. You don't profess this gospel. You don't listen to anyone in regards to what you study yourself approved. Nehemiah 9:29. What then Israel hath not obtained, that which he seeketh? For but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Psalms 95:8. Harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Isaiah 8:14. In he shall be a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense, to both the houses of Israel, for a gin, and for a snare, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Brother Bill?
Yeah. That Nehemiah was quite interesting. Why don't you read that one again, if you have it handy, Bob? 9:29.
And testifiest against them, that thou mightest bring them again unto thy law. Yet they dealt proudly, and hearkened not unto thy commandments, but sinned against thy judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them, and withdrew the shoulder, and hardened their neck, and would not hear.
Yeah, that's the stiff-necked, isn't it? That's resisting the Holy Ghost again. That's what it's all about, is blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. That's the unpardonable sin. That's the sin unto death that John spoke about and Jesus said in the four Gospels. That's it. All other sins are forgiven. All other sins are forgiven. But if there's no repentance and you blasphemy the Holy Ghost, blasphemy the truth, there's nothing that even that was what happened in Nazareth. That's what happened in Nazareth. And the Lord could work no miracles there. See, when you don't blaspheme the Holy Ghost, then the Lord can come into your heart and work miracles. That's the real miracles.
Real miracles, audience. Peace of mind, that peace I give to you, it's true. In a world of tribulation where rumors of wars, you go into the corner church to take your kids in because, you know, you don't want to forsake the congregation. In terms of, you know, there might be somebody that will agree with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Yet you go and you're preached once saved, always saved. Everything's good. Come to the bake sale. You're preached dominionism. You're preached pre-tribulation rapture. You're preached this-ism, that-ism. And not one time do I hear, you know, repent. For the kingdom is here. And you're the holy temple of the Lord. And you're to enter into covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. You're the one that comes out of the whole world. You're the one that seeks your salvation with fear and trembling. All they're preaching is doctrines of demons, and you'll never see this unless you study yourself approved. Bill?
Amen. You know, love is something that's really misunderstood today, and a true pasture for his flock, and there are true pastures out there. They have great love for their brethren and their sheep that are under them, and they don't want to see them led astray and taken off by Satan, and they won't, you know, that's they will be preaching repentance, they will be preaching this gospel, but the hireling shepherds, they don't care. They you can call them the idol shepherds too, that'll lead you to false idols, but they could care less about your soul. It's what's good for the establishment. How can we get more members in? How can we build up the congregation? How can we make everybody feel good? Certainly, if we say some of these things like you're speaking of, Bob, here, it's not going to make the congregation feel very good. So that's not going to work real well, see? That they have to compromise the gospel now.
And in compromising the gospel, that's all we have right now in this day and age, is compromise of this gospel. This gospel is definitely not being preached anywhere. So little that it tells you in the latter days, all you're going to have is seducing spirit doctrines of devils. Romans 9:18. Therefore, hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he hardeneth. Now, audience, that is true. This is mercy to understand this gospel. But it tells you through scriptures that in the latter days, there's not many left. Romans 11:5. Even so, then at this present time, also, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, then he also glorified. And all this is for the glory of God, audience, not for the glory of any individual person. It's the glory of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Bill?
Amen. Yes, that's what we started, you know, your study with, was about the giving all glory to God. It's about he called us out to do his will. Called us out to be his servants. This is what glorifies God. Doing our will does not glorify God. God is the opposite of pride, you know. There's no pride in God. That's why you never see reference to pride. Pride is strictly something of the creation.
And the problem, audience, is that there's very, very few that study this gospel, that study themselves approved, so that they are not under seducing spirits preaching a different gospel, as foretold, doctrines of demons in the latter days. 2 Thessalonians 2:13-14. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Bill?
Yeah, through sanctification of the Spirit, did it say there?
Yes.
Right, and that's our walk. That's how we were sanctified. You know, that's why he said in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Take them not out of the world, that they be sanctified in the truth, just as I sanctified myself in the truth." Jesus said. So, and yet we're predestined. Right in the very same verse, that very same verse is talking about God's will is predestinately choosing you, and it also is talking about your submittance to him. In your free will and being sanctifying yourself.
And it's very important and distinctive, audience, that many are called. Many are called. The whole world's called. This is free.
Right. That's the power of the Holy Ghost that was poured out at Pentecost.
Will be preached to the inhabitants of the earth.
Yes, to think that there's second and third chances and only a few, only certain people. Now, there is Luke chapter 12. I'll never leave that out when he talks about the more stripes and to whosoever much is given, much is required. And that's true. Yes, that has to be harmonized in. But the power of the Holy Ghost was to go out and reach, you know, it's was cast out at Pentecost. It went everywhere. All men have a conscience.
Freely given. Freely given by our Lord Jesus Christ to tell you how to follow him and not follow doctrines of devils or any men's teachings.
Absolutely. You know, this talk, too, about the thousand-year reign and how they're going to be ruling and reigning over these other people. And I don't want to judge anybody as far as their salvation is. I'll judge maybe the fruits of the doctrine that they're speaking. But if this is really the gist of it right here. If you're not willing to serve God in this lifetime, you are not willing to serve God in his kingdom after this lifetime. They just go hand in hand, those two. There's no reason why you would want to serve him after this if you don't want to serve him here now.
Choose this day whom you will serve, audience. Any closing thoughts, Bill?
Just seek the Lord. Pray to the Father that he sends. You know, in that verse where he says, I send you the Comforter and he'll teach you all things. There's a precursor to that verse, and he says, I'm just going to paraphrase off the top of my head, but it's about those that are keep his commandments that he sends the Holy Ghost to. And then that Holy Ghost grows in you and it guides you, and you become as a matured Christian.
The problem is Satan doesn't want you to know this, audience.
No, he doesn't. Absolutely, he doesn't want you to know this.
Satan doesn't want you to go find a Bible. Satan wants you in the churches right now. He's sitting in the top of the congregation. And when our Lord was in the desert, driven by the Spirit,
guided him.
His confrontation with Satan himself. Because only the Lord could stand to Satan.
That's right.
What did he say? It is written.
Amen.
In these scriptures, his gospel, and we're admonished to do the same to these doctrines of devils. In closing, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This is Bob for Brother Bill. Be well, audience, and good night.
Well, that was a very good study there. Powerful word.
All good.